Welcome to Eagle Eye.
What a break from Manoa!
Interviewing your favorite USA Eagles around the globe.
Tony Limbaugh into the 22.
Now, here's your host, Bill Baker.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Eagle-Eyed Rugby Podcast. I am your host, Bill Baker. Thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate it. So listen, let's get right into it. No more wasting time. This week's guest is Chance Wengluski. When I say this week, I mean we recorded this about a month ago, and I just haven't been able to get it posted online. We had a couple other interviews come up that we needed to get up first. And I mentioned that, too, because we talk about Chance's current contract situation. I really can't talk about it. What I do know, as everyone else knows right now, is that he has signed with Rooney, which is it's awesome for him, good for him. He returns to Rooney. He's had a good run in Atlanta. And he does mention he will be in Atlanta still. His business will be in Atlanta. When I mean business, Chance has a really good graphic designer. So check out his stuff on Instagram and anywhere else you can find it, especially his dog prints. It's pretty cool. Real fun interview with Chance about this past year's USA tests, you know, what that means for the future of the team. Again, his move here. We talk about his broken face. Yeah, his broken face. So check it out. Fun interview with Chance. Here I am with Chance. Thanks again for jumping on here. I know we've tried this a couple times already, and I bailed on you, whatever. But dude, good to see you. How are you?
Oh, it's good to see you as well. It's life's good. Kind of just playing with different avenues as far as kind of like side hustle for me. I study graphic design, obviously, in university. So I've been knocking out a lot of dog paintings. Yeah, people are in high demand right now for the holidays. So I've just been kind of knocking those out.
Well, I was sitting here waiting. I went through your Instagram real quick and I saw the page for your graphic design. I saw all the dog prints. I'm like, all right, this is cool. And I kind of stumbled through some stuff. Well, good. That's good. That's awesome stuff, man. Good work in there. I mean, how's that going?
Oh, it's going good. You know, it's something fun that I like to do. Obviously, like, you know, I'm like the biggest kindergartner there is. Like, I get to go out, play recess and smash heads, and then come inside and have drawing time all the rest of my day. So, you really can't ask for much of a better setup with that. But you know, it's been good. You know, I've been able to kind of just focus my direction a little bit right now. You know, toward my other passion, which is graphic designing, drawing, painting stuff. So, obviously staying fit in the gym still, doing quite a bit of CrossFit with the wife. She's big into that. So we've been getting at that. And just simple ball handling stuff. When the wife is away from studies, I can just pull her away. We can just throw the ball around a little bit, which is fun.
She's not your tackling dummy though, right? She's just passing.
Definitely holding off on that. She could probably lay a few tackles in on me. I'm sure if she really wanted to. Life's good right now. Can't complain.
And speaking of your body and all that stuff, how are you feeling? How have the injuries recovered since the summer?
Oh yeah, man, it's such a crazy thing. You know, obviously, got cut short. Obviously, on that Uruguay tour, I was really hoping to get some game time with that. You know, get to represent with the boys. But I got a little face knock, broke my face, broke my cheekbone. And like this bone right here actually was popping out. So it swelled my eye shut pretty bad. This apparently there's like that little tiny, I'm not sure how to explain it. My wife would know, she knows all the anatomy, but this bone right here just sunk right in. Just couldn't do anything about it. Got like 3 plates put in. Oof. Big one across and then like one up top here. What stinks is that this one actually got infected and swelled my eye completely shut up. It was swollen, but we had to go back underneath the knife. I was awake for that. They gave it the old the fruit gusher maneuver, man. And yeah, it was it was a fun experience for sure, being awake for that one. But it's all good now. I'm still almost there to, I guess I can smile properly now for the most part. A little bit of like a smirk.
Yeah.
But it's good, you know. I'm not complaining by any means. I'm just excited to, you know, slap the boots on, you know, for this upcoming season. So very excited for the future right now.
Yeah, good. And let's talk about the upcoming season. What I really want to talk to you about in a few minutes, and I just want to touch up on next season because I want to talk about how you got into the game. Let's just jump into that now, and then I want to talk MLR and USA as well later. I know you talked about this before with other people, but I love the story about how anyone really gets into the game. I know for me, it was college. Buddy convinced me to get out there, and I went out, but then I drank with the guys. I was like, I'm convinced.
Definitely
different for you. But talk about that road. How did you get into the game?
It was actually a buddy of mine who wasn't even really, you know, in sports. I didn't play sports with him growing up. Me and him were just like old elementary school buddies, and his older brother was 4 years older than me at the time. He was a freshman in college, actually. It was back when you could do like an 18 and under kind of league. And he was a freshman in college. I was a freshman in high school. And I was just hanging out with him one day, and his brother was like, "Yo, like you should totally come out. You know, just give it a go. You know, I know you play football and stuff. You're a big guy. Might as well just give it a shot. You know, see how it turns out." And I was like, "Yeah, sure." Went to a training. Had no idea what I was doing, like blocking, like the whole O lineman, D lineman maneuver. Like that was pretty much me to a T. And like, but I like the concept of like, I get the opportunity to run with the ball, and I get to like kind of show like a sense of strength in this thing called the scrum, which I didn't know about at the time. And it took me a little bit of convincing actually to go to the second training. I was already like pretty jam packed with football and wrestling and rugby kind of fit in that spring period. I knew that if I did that, I wouldn't have an off season my entire high school career. And I was like, you know, this will probably keep me out of trouble. This will probably keep me my head on straight for the most part if I just keep my schedule full. And my mom was like, "Yeah, just do it. I think you'll really enjoy it. You never know where it might take you." And I had some really good coaches actually in high school that thought, you know, like if you really want to be good, like you can represent your country one day. And I being like a 14, 15 year old kid, you're just thinking, "Yeah, sure, kind of like whatever." Like I kind of want to play football or I want to do wrestling. And next thing you know, just fell completely like just like, yeah, that. I can't stop playing this game. This game is something bigger than just a game. It's a culture. It's an environment. Like you just breathe it and you just know what, you know what rugby is. So, that's kind of the get-go story for how I got into rugby. Just happened to fall upon it. Really, a buddy needed another player to come out, and that was it. Yeah.
I mean, was there like one moment that you can remember that where you're like, "Oh yeah, this is it." I mean, did you just absolutely get destroyed in a tackle or absolutely destroy somebody? Was there like something that you can remember?
Nah, in all honesty, like for me, like I was always playing like street football, like in my not my backyard, but I lived right across the street from the park, and like there was kids always going out there, and like they would just do like full go live tackle with no pads on. It was just street football. So like to me, like that was just kind of the exact same like playground, like after school mentality of just like gonna go like have a good time and bash my friends in. And I think I might have been in middle school at the time. I might have been like 13, 12, but like there's some high school guys at the park I was playing at, and we'd go live tackle with these dudes, and I was just my parents probably didn't agree upon that at the time, but playing with some older kids. But I mean, that's what I'm doing now, you know, like 23 years of age right now, playing with some older guys, playing with some younger cats. So you're kind of just like, it isn't, at this point, it doesn't even matter how old you are. You're just playing to play, and you represent at the end of the day. So, I don't even know if I answered your question. I find
ran along a little bit here and there. But. Dude, the excitement answers a question. The way you react to it answers a question. I mean, it's the same thing I was also. Just I got my ass kicked in a college game. And the next day, I'm like, "Let's go. When are we playing next?" You know, it's just, yeah. Exactly. And you meet those guys, and I wouldn't say become instant friends, but it's your family all of a sudden. I played football as well, and it just was different. You love the game of football, but rugby just had that element to it. It was just different, you know.
Yeah.
Now for you, what position did you play in football?
Football, I played defensive end and like tight end, I think a little bit, but yeah, I was right there on the O-line, D-line. I was just in the grid of things. So like switching over to like rugby was almost a bit more of a fresh air, because you're not like, you know, squeezed into like this like 3 meter sprint gap every time. You know, now I can actually like set myself up and do some plays, you know, actually get some passing going. I'm not just like never touching the ball. I get to touch the ball here and there now, which is class. So it's defensive end and O-line. Yeah, I was with all the big boys. So
yeah, so you never they never put you on the wing when you started playing rugby. They were like, no, this guy is playing in the pack. He's gonna be right there.
I think they put me at 8-man initially, and then I think I played maybe lock like once or twice in like a high school game, and then like made the official move like I think when I was like 16 that I was going to do prop, play prop. And I was like, let's do it. And yeah, that's when my coach was like, yo, you can go all the way if you wanted. If you stick with this position, you'll be good. And I was like, man, this is where all the thick guys are. Everyone's like 100 pounds more than me. But I was like a strong kid, so I was like, yeah, look, let's stick me here and see what it turns into. And yeah, I guess the rest is kind of history.
Well, and you were a hell of a wrestler, obviously, state champ. I mean, that obviously had something to do with your the way you've taken on rugby, right? It has to be a great connection there.
No, yeah, 100%. Wrestling, my sophomore and junior year, actually, I got runner-up at 195 pounds. So I would cut down, like, I think, around 20-plus pounds, like, those 2 years. It was rough. And then my senior year, there was a weight class called 220, like, before heavyweight. So I would wrestle at 220. And that, I only had to drop, like, 7-8 pounds. So I was just like, yeah, sure, why not? And got the job done, won at 220. I was like, man, maybe I should have been wrestling 220 the 2 years in the past. But yeah, it just worked out. Got a state title, which was really cool. And my coach at the time, he was like, yo, like, I'm getting letters from universities right now. Like, is this something you're interested in? I was like, nah, in all honesty, I'm actually interested in football. So I was just like, well, yeah, let's do football. And then Lindenwood popped up. And they had a rugby program, and I was like, oh, man, I got to get in on this as well. So I actually redshirted my freshman year in football. And then come spring, I played rugby with those guys and was like, yeah, I'm not coming back to football. I'm just going to stick with rugby. Like, I'm not, yeah, I was just like, I just didn't like the – in all honesty, for me, it was just like a big culture thing. Like, I think where I was staying at, like, on the university, I was hanging out with a lot of the rugby guys and getting to know them. And you know, I got to meet some really cool dudes in football as well, but it just didn't really stick for me. And I guess that for me, I was just like, I'm already like really, really getting on my toes, like, to sprint off the line for this rugby thing. And I was like, let's just stick with the rugby thing. And I think my coach at the time in university at Lennon was JD Stevenson. He's worked his way up with USA as well. So we kind of just worked our way up the ladder, you know, together, so to speak. He definitely got in a good name for me and a few other buddies of mine to, you know, help us, you know, progress up that ladder. And, you know, big thanks to that guy. He really, really jump-started, my career in a sense, for sure.
Yeah, and not to – what division was the football program there?
It was Division II.
Okay, so, I mean, and obviously excellent football. There's a lot of good athletes at D2 level. But, I mean, in your mind, you weren't thinking, I'm going to go pro. Right. I mean, it's that kind of made the decision a little easier, too. I guess if you were going to Alabama or something like that, you're like, no. I could be even a late round draft pick making a ton of money in the NFL. You know, that wasn't in your mind.
Yeah. I going to the Division II, I think I knew that, like, one of the reasons why I was going to go to Lindenwood was for the rugby program as well. Like, it was just something that, like, I couldn't get, like, out of my mind as far as the aspect. I was like, oh, I can do football and rugby. Like, it would be like the same thing as high school, but just like a little more controlled. And was like, yeah, I got to get myself fully dedicated to rugby. I know that I can reach, like, a higher potential, not only for myself, but, like, you know, continue to grow as a person as well. I just think the culture in itself was just something I haven't seen before. And it was just like, I got to go full in on this, you know. So that was that.
And what's in the water there at Lindenwood? I mean, that's a hell of a program, and it's turned out some USA Eagles, some current teammates of yours as well. What's going on there? Obviously, JD had something to do with it.
No, man. It's funny. Me, Malon, Aljabori, and Lorenzo Thomas, we all graduated in the same high school class, and we just decided to all go to Lindenwood at the same time. So we're all relatively around the same size, which is funny, you know, give or take a few kgs here and there. But yeah, I don't know. I think it might have been an Oklahoma thing at the time. But no, yeah, Lindenwood is definitely picking up in the recruiting. You know, shout out to Josh Macy and Aaron Brown. Like, they're both, you know, class coaches. They know exactly what to look for. And you know, they're not just, like, pulling from other countries as well. They're pulling from the States. They're finding good talent that, you know, can really, you know, progress, you know, rugby in the States. So, Lindenwood's doing really good. I was there when Lindenwood actually beat Life University at Life, and, like, I sadly never got the job done when I was with them at Lindenwood, and to see them just, like, oh, man, I was laughing my ass off in the stands, and I was the only one doing it because everyone was like University fans, and I'm just like Lions, just like having just having a crack up, and like everyone's just like, all right, we get it, man. It's like 43-6 right now. I just wasn't holding back. That was like 4 years of just like built up aggression, I think. But nah, man, it was Linden was doing great. I'm really, really happy for the program, happy for the university.
Yeah, good for them. It's good to see those organizations like Life and Lindenwood and others just, you know, become almost professional atmospheres in a way, you know, just the locker rooms, the clubhouses, that kind of stuff. Speaking of Life, obviously you've been playing on their, well, not their pitch, but at Life University. Mm-hmm. I played there for a bit myself, not for Life, but against Life a number of times. Nice little facility down there and a decent Atlanta crowd. You know, speaking of MLR, you know, how is that crowd in Atlanta and how has it been since joining that team?
No. Yeah. Oh man. It's cool. Cause like, you know, I never really had like a town that I grew up in that was like, just mm-hmm. like, you know, rugby committed and like, you know, we're very much based in like the Marietta area and like, seeing like just the amount of like families come out to these games, I think they're just kind of giving it like a shot, and it's cool to see like continuous people show up to the game, and like you're actually starting to build like a proper fan base. And like for me, it was just a cool experience because it's like you're really building something from the ground up. Like, you know, with Rugby ATL, you know, it's like going in technically into like their second season. If you want to consider, I guess, the quarantine season as well, but like seeing that build up of just fans come, you know, week in and week out, you know, supporting us throughout the process, it was really an amazing thing to see. You know, I think, you know, Rugby ATL definitely helped like build, you know, I think even a better, you know, relationship with Life University as well. My wife mm-hmm. is actually in the Life chiropractic program right now. So she's actually in the other room, just like studying away for some midterms and finals coming up in the near future. But it's just cool how like the relationships work, I think. And as far as to see like people come out to the games and support us, I think it's just something that, you know, you can hold your head high knowing that like you were part of something bigger than yourself, and you're bigger, you know, for the community as well. So, I think it was really cool to just kind of see it kind of come from the ground up, and especially see the amount of numbers that came to support us and continue to support us was really cool.
And Major League Rugby is still grassroots, I think about it, because they have players like yourself actually working on graphic design, working on logos. You know, up here in New England, we have the Free Jacks where, you know, players also do merchandising, that kind of stuff. So it's interesting to see that, because I think it's important for someone like, you know, for players like you. I don't know if they pay any extra for that kind of stuff, but the involvement of the players and still the love of the game, it's not just, it's only my job and I'm going to go somewhere else when I'm done. I mean, obviously it means a lot to you.
No, yeah, I think being able to leave kind of like your mark, not only just on the field, but like kind of behind the scenes as far as like logo production, t-shirt production, mural production. Like I got an opportunity to dip my toes in a lot of different categories and be able to express myself, not just on the pitch, but with, you know, my creative ability as well. And, you know, benefit, you know, same thing, just benefit in a different area and a different category of the franchise. So, yeah, it was definitely a fun and interesting experience, you know, altogether to be, you know, take part in and, you know, grow for the future. Because, I mean, with Rugby ATL, it's going now into season 3, and all these other teams are, you know, getting into season 3, 4, some 1, 2, mm-hmm. like new teams popping up here and there. It's cool, you know, to see that continuation go on.
And contractually, is that the word? Yeah. What is your current contract status? If I can say that
properly. My contract status. So for me, my contract ended with Rugby ATL this past season. I'm not sure what's public and what's not public as far as like what my whereabouts are. So I don't know what you know. So, I mean, I guess I could like leave a little like foreshadowing of sorts that, you know, Atlanta will continue to be my home. As far as business and stuff goes, we'll figure that out here soon.
Fair enough. Well, wherever you are, you know, most camps, I think, appear at the same time. You know, when will you start actually training with a team?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I'm technically kind of doing a lot of my own training on my own. Like I said, I'm doing a lot of CrossFit with the wife, and that's keeping me extremely fit, which I'm really happy about. I'm probably actually in a better shape than I was, you know, kind of toward the end of the MLR season. So it was, which is kind of fun to see and see the progression of my own, you know, physique, I guess, in a sense. I don't know why I'm even talking about that, but as far as like conditioning and like training and stuff goes, I know that like as far as like getting and being with the boys, it'll probably be in this December, I would say, early December, get acquainted with them all, and then
kind of hit the ground, so to speak,
start of the new year. So I got a few weeks coming up, good training here coming soon, and then rest will kind of just be on my own, especially with the holidays, like a little holiday gap.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta keep fit for that time period as well. So yeah, that's kind of what it's looking like right now.
So talking about the end of last season, you guys actually had a great season. Mm-hmm. You wrapped up the season at New England, and I was at that match at Veterans Memorial Stadium. And you guys at that point already locked up your playoff spot. A spirited night in that match, and we don't need to speak about that match specifically, but I want to talk about stadiums real quick. And you've been to most of them in MLR, the Coliseum, obviously. You know, you look at places like, you know, New England's a sports rich area, so they're going to have a good draw for these games. Great crowd in that night. But were there some matches, away matches for you that really stand out as far as like the atmosphere that's put on by the teams, and on the pitch action as well?
That's a great question. I think one of like probably the more fun experiences was going down to Austin. Actually, I did an internship with them, I think two seasons prior to them as well, back when they were Austin Elite at the time, and just to see the amount of growth that they've had in just the one season alone, it was really cool to, you know, see the, like this ginormous growth of just fan base and people go. So like the environment that they built there was actually probably one of the cooler ones. The hotel we were even staying at, we were right there on like, I think it's 6th Street. I should know this, but I don't right now. I think the night prior to the game, like the clubs were popping. You could literally hear the bass and feel the bass through the walls. So I was like, this is great tactical maneuvers right now. I was like, this is class. Definitely get a man out of their mind, kind of just bit distracted before a game. And I think that Austin environment was a real class place to play. And obviously the Coliseum, like I said, you know, for an MLR final, like, oof, you couldn't ask for a like a better setup with that goes and stuff. But yeah, just to see all the fans come out and stuff. I've never properly been to LA, so like that was a really cool experience in general, yeah, to, you know, be a part of and see and witness. And so yeah, I guess that was kind of it. I guess the, you know, the Gilgaronis and the Giltinis definitely had, like, showed up, you know, as far as like wanting to be, you know, teams that like can continue to aspire to other teams and help them grow as well.
Now, I'll mention only one thing about the finals match, MLR finals, because you seem like a pretty humble guy, and the fact that you post the photo of yourself with your face in the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's a great photo. I mean, you know what I mean.
No, 100%. I think I posted, I really posted that just like kind of swallowing the pill at the end of the day. It's like there comes a time after you like mourn, obviously, that you have to just look back and realize that's part of your story, man. Like, that's just part of your growth. So, I mean, that picture just kind of like captured it for me. I was like, yeah, I gotta share this. Cause at the end of the day, like, as much as it is, like, it sucks to lose, and especially on like that high of like a podium, it's some people can either make or break you. And like, I choose to just kind of like, you know, swallow it and have a chuckle at the end of the day, and, you know, just move on, because like at the end of the day, like, you have to continue to progress. If you don't, then you're stagnant, you stand still, and you freeze. And I don't plan on doing that anytime soon. So so for me, yeah, that was just a funny picture. I laughed when I saw it initially, and I was just like, yeah, I'll save this for a better day. I'll let the dust settle before I post anything too soon. But yeah, definitely a funny one for sure. I was like, it's funny because I think the picture that Rugby ATL posted when we beat LA was actually me tackling, I think, was the same guy who scored the try. I think it was the SPH or whatever. Yeah. So I was like, it's only, yeah, I guess it's in a sense karma, but I don't really think it was karma. So I don't know what the word properly would be, but it's definitely not that. But it's definitely just funny how that works out, you know, like the same person you tackle, the same guy scores a try to finish the job. So
yeah, he was pissed. You saw that photo too. He says, you know what, I gotta score on him.
yeah, for sure. It's funny. Nah, but it's good though. It's real good.
So let's talk about USA Rugby. Generally speaking, this summer has been difficult for you personally because of injuries, being left out of certain matches. But as a team, you know, what's the takeaway? What's your takeaway of this summer as far as, was it a good thing that we're finally back on the pitch playing it, test rugby? Or was it, I don't know, was it a bad thing? That's just the way we finished off. We're still fighting for a qualifying spot.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, being at home, watching those few games, it's, you know, the first one against Uruguay, you know, we slipped by with the win, which is obviously great, you know, put us in a good spot leading that second one. And then, I don't know, you hear, like, rumors and stuff as far as, like, USA can't, like, you know, seal the deal, like, on away games. But I think at the end of the day, it just has to be, like, a mentality, you know. And I think the boys just have to get a grasp of that and realize that, like, if we want to, like, take part in this upcoming World Cup, we have to put our heads down and, like, literally throw our torsos at these dudes, whoever it may be. And I think, you know, coming from RBETL, coming from that kind of, like, the defensive almost mentality that we had there, you know, it's like you do your best to, like, implement that to when you go to, you know, international test level and continue to bring that form of culture together. Because, you know, at the end of the day, all these guys are coming from different MLR teams, coming from teams overseas. You know, you're bringing a lot of different, you know, playing experiences, cultures, attributes, and trying to make a team that, you know, is meant to win and continue to, you know, put the USA in good lighting. And, you know, props to Gary Gold and props to the rest of the coaching staff to, you know, pull these guys in together and find, you know, what works and what doesn't. And, you know, I think we're going to continue to, you know, sharpen the blade, so to speak, as far as, like, figuring out our own style of play right now. And I think, you know, obviously with quarantine and with COVID and stuff, it kind of, I think maybe, I don't know, you know, I want to say we have to, like, kind of get off the couch mentality and go for that, you know, that extra little bit. So I'm not really, you know, I'm not too negative about it at the end of the day. I'm very positive and optimistic as far as, you know, USA and as far as this upcoming, you know, next match against Chile, as far as, you know, qualifying for this world thing. You know, for me, like, sitting down watching the game, it's like, oh, like, I would do anything to get out there. But, you know, you're sitting there with your swollen face and trying to keep it together for the most part. But, you know, for me, it's like it's another opportunity for me to hopefully, you know, get the opportunity to represent, you know, my country. And at the end of the day, like, I think everyone knows what's on the line. You know, it's when it's the nitty gritty, so to speak. And if we want to get the job done, we have to give it everything. So I think everyone else knows that. I think a lot of the boys know that. And it's just going to be whether or not we come ready that day. So, yeah, very exciting stuff.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm a coach, definitely not the same level as Gary by any means, but I coach high school girls soccer. And we had a season where we got to the playoffs. We wish we could have done better, but then my message to them at the end of the season was this and that. You know, it's hard to get tough on a team. But, you know, what's been the message from Gary post these international windows going into next year? Is there a certain message he's given you guys about, okay, this next season – this is what I need from you guys. This is the kind of mentality I need when you come into camp next year.
Yeah, I think the kind of the message going forth, you know, after those Canada qualifiers, you know, leading into Uruguay and stuff, was like, we are going to raise the intensity. And that's the only way that we, you know, can kind of pull ourselves out. You know, we're a tier two nation right now as far as it comes to rugby. And, like, if we want to get ourselves to that tier one position, like, we have to be fitter, we have to be stronger than everyone else. So it means that, you know, we don't have opportunities like New Zealand and all those other, you know, international teams that are able to, you know, play week in and week out and kind of build, like, this unity, so to speak. So it really comes down to the individual prep leading into, you know, any international test match. So, you know, for me right now, the second I was able to get off the medication and stop being a vegetable was the best thing for me as far as getting back into the gym, getting fit again. Because, like, to me at the end of the day, like, there's no time to take off because you're constantly having to prep for whatever tomorrow has to throw at you. And what tomorrow has to throw is a Chile match, you know, leading into the World Cup. So you know, for me right now, you just can't take your foot off the gas. You just have to continue to floor it until you have nothing left to give. I don't know if that's a great mentality in a sense as far as, like, resting and relaxing. I get told a lot that I need to take a chill pill sometimes and just, like, maybe not run an extra 1K on top of a, you know, a heavy fast day training or something. So, you know, everyone's different. You know, I think that at the end of the day, everyone's just going to have to be ready, you know, coming into camp rather than thinking camp is a time to prep and get ready. The prepping has to already been occurred. So that's just me.
Well, speaking of just you, what are your goals as a rugby player? What are your future goals? Is it winning an MLR championship? Is it making the World Cup squad, you know, getting minutes? You know, what are your goals going on from here?
Oh, man. Number one for me right now is for me, like, I think only thing I can really think about is just having the opportunity to represent my country as, you know, as many times as possible, really. Like, I think, like, I look up to all those guys who have 100-plus caps, you know, for their country, and I see that, and I just think, like, man, all the amount of hours of hard work that they put in, days and countless times where they've sacrificed, you know, relationships, family time, you know, own personal goals and stuff. I really look up to that, and I think it's something for me to strive for. So for me to have an opportunity to slap on, like, a Rugby World Cup jersey and represent my country in the highest level tournament in rugby would be, for me, that's just, you know, breathtaking. I think it kind of puts everything in perspective as far as, like, knowing that you allowed yourself to be in this position, you've worked hard to be in this position, and to be able to put a jersey on and you know, smack heads with my brothers that I've been going to war with for years now, that's just something that I want. And that's kind of, like, where my goal and mindset is. And the thing is I think everyone can put, you know, a guesstimate as far as, like, you know, how long and how far they can play. And for me, it's like, yeah, I just want to see how far my body will take me, you know, on this international test level, you know, adventure, so to speak. So for me, yeah, that's number one, is obviously playing a World Cup. And number two would probably most likely be, you know, win an MLR championship. I've had the opportunity to take part in two semifinal matches in the MLR and then one now in the final. So, you know, hopefully I can continue this on and continue to make it to, you know, top four, and then, you know, hopefully get that gold. That's obviously, you know, what's on my mind. And I think, I don't know, I've kind of just been, it's just kind of been instilled with me, I think, as a young age, is like, if you're going to give your time to something, you might as well give 110% to it. You know, I like I said, got runner up twice, back to back years in high school. And, like, that stuff will keep you up at night, because there's no one to look back on when you're in a wrestling match. You either prep for the match or you didn't, and you're by yourself and you think about that stuff. So, you know, being in rugby mentality, it's like, you might have your great, great game, but at the end of the day, like, your brothers have to bring their A game too. And I think for me, if I can be a big enough light, not just on the rugby pitch, but off the rugby pitch as well, to, like, keep people's heads on straight, to, you know, do the job at hand and the tasks at hand and really just give it 110%. That's all I can really ask for as a person and as a player and brother. So, yeah, those are kind of my, I guess somewhat mid to short term long goals, because it's all right around the corner when you think about it. 2023 is almost here. You know, 2022 MLR finals are just around the corner as well. So, you know, for me, I guess a long-term goal would be played on, like, 35, 36. Have a few gray hairs, hang the boots up. Maybe have a few Ninos chilling around. But, yeah, I guess that's my goal right now as a rugby player. You know, that things change in time. And, you know, obviously I'm down for change. And I think change is good at the end of the day, because it helps us grow. So, I mean, for me, yeah, I guess it's just a couple goals, short and long, for you.
Nice. Well, you mentioned brothers a minute ago, but let's talk siblings for a second here. Who has the best name? Kira, Creed, Stone, or Chance?
Oh, yeah.
Those are awesome names, man.
No, I know. I got the short end of the stick on it. Like, my parents were like, it means good fortune. Like, you're my baby. I was the first one. So, you know, she's all about the, I guess, I don't know. I was supposed to be named originally Titus, and I was like, that would have been a cool one for sure. But then she was like, I didn't want them to call you Titus. I was like, all right, well, I guess, okay, I guess that one's out of, but Kara got a cool name, Creed, he got named after the band Creed, and then everyone thinks that Stone was named after like the Rolling Stones, but I think my parents just like rocks or something. I don't know.
You hear some names, you automatically know, okay, that's a hippie family if it's like Flower and Sunshine. But then it is, I'm trying to figure it out. Is that a rockers? Are they?
No, yeah, my dad was like big into like playing in like rock bands back in the day. So like my age, if I don't think me and him would have had the opportunity to be friends just because our like he would be all in music and I'd be probably in my room drawing a picture of like playing heavy games. But like I don't know if we'd ever come in contact if we were in that same time period. But yeah, definitely vast variety of colors in my family for sure.
Nicely done. Nicely done. All right, Chance, listen, again, thank you so much for joining me and giving me your time here. Awesome stuff. And this has been a long time coming. I'm glad I finally got you.
No, the pleasure is all mine. Thank you so much for having me. And obviously, looking forward to the next time, whenever that day may come.
All right, cheers, brother.
All right, cheers.